C.A. Cassis O.G. and B.H. against Homosage LLC. The appellant has waived oral argument, and so we will hear directly from the appellee, Mr. Nolan.
Thank you, Your Honors. Brian Nolan, on behalf of appellee Hemasonics LLC. If it pleases the court, this case relates to a PTAB decision in which the PTAB had a final written decision holding claims 1 through 40 of United States Patent 9915671 unpatentable. It was based on two references. One is referred to as a patent, Braun 209, that discloses a cartridge-based system with multiple chambers.
Okay, Miss, let me interrupt you just because time is short. This is Judge Proulx speaking. It seems that the other side, absent today, so we appreciate your coming, points out that the board's decision is not a model of clarity when it comes to reasonable expectation of success. And so can you point us in the final written decision to where the board analyzed the evidence from you and your friend on the other side on the reasonable expectation of success? It's kind of a little garbled, right?
Yes, Your Honor, and I think that we could look at two places in the final written decision. First, I think if you look at appendix 34, 35, and 36, in which the board talks about the motivation to combine and talks about the overlap that you see between the Braun 2000 and 209 patent and the Lang 2006. And in particular, it finds that both of these devices use well-known reagents. There's overlap in the reagents. The cartridge-based system of Braun 209 is being used for the exact advantages that are disclosed, and those advantages are that it's quicker, it's repeatable, it's reliable, it overtakes, and this is right in Braun if you look at the disclosure in Braun. And then it looks at, and it talks about the Lang device, the Lang 206, and Lang 206 is a well-known interrogation-based technique. And after they lay out the overlap and they lay out the reasons to combine, they do discuss later on in the opinion the reasonable expectation of success. And after having laid out all this evidence, if you go to APX 49 of the appendix, you'll see that they talk about, and I think this is in the first full paragraph, petitioner has demonstrated by preponderance of the evidence that one of skill in the art would have been motivated to combine Broad 209 and Lang 2006 and would have the reasonable expectation of that combination. This is based on all the evidence that precedes it. It's based on the overlaps that we just discussed. It's also based on KSR, which KSR says when you're using the devices for what they used in the prior art, and here we're using Braun 209 for the convenience of the cartridge, for the repeatability of it. It is a mechanical probe of a magnet going up and down that's measuring resistance as the blood goes under coagulation. And we're using Lang 2006 for another physical interrogation techniques of multiple samples, one sample that is allotted into multiple different cups to be measured. And so the reasonable expectation of success that the board finds flows from this concept of you're just using the prior art for the exact same rationale that it was. And they lay out the motivation to combine, as I said, in 34, 35, and 36 of the appendix. And they talk throughout this of why those combinations would go together. And I think that's where the board has found that the reasonable expectation of success flows from, Your Honor.
Thank you.
The appellant in the gray brief at page 25 of the gray brief says that the panel's dispositive factual error is that Lang 2006 measures viscosity. Is that an error, and is it dispositive?
Well, I think, in all due respect, I think Lang 2006 measures viscoelasticity because that's the Rotem tag, that's the article. I think they may have meant that said Braun 2009, they attribute that to being only a viscosity measurement. And I don't think it is an error, Your Honor, because what the board did, I think what the appellant is suggesting is an error. Because if you look at what they said about viscoelastic property, they offered a new kind of claim construction that says clotting time is not covered. That was covered, was questioned specifically in the oral argument on what viscoelastic property meant. They agree that Braun 209, and this would be, if you look at the oral argument record, right at, this is APX 478, they're asked, do you agree that Braun at least measures the viscoelastic property, namely clotting time? And then if you go on the next page, APPX 479, the answer is yes, that was their argument in an earlier IPR, which they adopted here, and you can see that adoption in APX 232. There's the adoption in the papers before the board, but they acknowledge that Braun mentioned some viscoelastic properties. That is what appellant's counsel said before the board. And so if Braun is measuring some viscoelastic properties, and Lang is teaching you a different testing method that clearly gives you more information about the viscoelastic properties because it measures more than just viscosity, you'll see the rationale for putting them together and the expectation. They're measuring different aspects of the blood, clotting cascade.
So does Lang measure viscosity or it does not measure viscosity?
Well, Lang measures viscoelastic properties, and viscosity is one of it, because if the blood starts out as a fluid, it increases its viscosity as the fibrin and the white blood cells come together and form a matrix. And as that matrix is formed, it transitions to more elastic. And so viscosity is along the chain of viscoelastic properties. You have to kind of start with viscosity, then you get to elasticity, and then eventually the fibrin and white blood cells break apart and you return to a more fluid state. So you know the blood is no longer viscoelastic because the clot has dissolved. Now I could take you through, why we think they've erred on their two main arguments, but I appreciate that your time is important. And if you think that'd be helpful, I certainly would do it. But if you think that I've resolved any questions that this panel has, then I could cede the rest of my time. I defer to the court on that.
I have a quick question. Is commercial success a factor, an issue still here on this appeal?
I don't believe so, Your Honor, for a few reasons. One is that the appellant never really linked up that the commercial success is due to any of the attributes of the claims. If you look at it, the person who put the commercial success argument in never looked at the claims, never did an analysis, just was told from the lawyers that we wanted you to say that there's sales of this other device. And their expert, or technical expert, never did an analysis to know whether their Rotem device actually had practiced this. But more importantly, what the board found is if the only commercial success, the only reason why the Rotem Sigma, the subsequent device, may have more sales than the Rotem Delta, the earlier device, was this cartridge-based system, the convenience of the cartridge. And the board found that the convenience of the cartridge is disclosed right in the prior art. It's disclosed in Braun. And if I could point you to, in Braun 2...
Isn't the law, to interrupt you, the law is the invention as a whole, not which particular piece. Isn't that correct?
Well, I think...
In terms of these secondary considerations...
I do think the law is that it's an invention at the whole, but if the commercial success derives from something that is in the prior art, like the board had found, then there's no nexus between the claim as a whole and the commercial success here. And just more importantly, I think there was just a failure on the appellant's part to really put forward any evidence that shows that Rotem Sigma, the device they say is commercial success, is practicing the claims that have been challenged here. They just didn't do that. And so the only thing they said is Rotem Sigma differs from Rotem Delta because Rotem Sigma has a cartridge that is convenient. And the board found, well, that's in the prior art. If that's what your argument is, that's in the prior art because Braun 209 in column 3 of it, lays out what the problem in the art is and explains why its cartridge system overcomes that.
Okay. Any more questions for Mr. Nelson?
No, thank you.
No, thank you.
Your Honor, well, I thank you for your time and hearing me today.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. The case is taken under submission.